David, as we look then toward 2012, and as you know, we've got that big bash that Friday night, December 21st, 2012, which you'll be there too, as we look into the future. You think we're going to be okay?
I think we'll be okay. Not everybody, obviously. Already, you know, a quarter of a million people, half a million people have died in different disasters. So when we say that, I mean, whenever you have transformation, you have change, and you have destructive forces, and you have creative forces. I don't think the world's going to end. You know, definitely not. Things, you know, the way the progression of the solar system moving north of the galactic plane is a major transformation compared to being on the south part of the plane. But these things happen gradually, but there are sudden spikes that you go through. There are certain dimensions where you see sudden transformation. You know, I would hope, as a spiritual person, that something like the Second Coming or giant motherships from all religions came and gods appeared and goddesses in the sky, something that fantastic. But, you know, that's, you know, neither here nor there. I mean, I can't really rely on something like that. I have nothing to prove to me right now that that is absolutely going to happen. There are certain times when I believe something like that may happen. I definitely believe it's possible. But, you know, the whole movement, even if you see the changes in our culture all over the world, we're coming to the end of a money system that doesn't work. We have no shortage of goods, services, and labor and resources. All the things that money represents, we're super rich in. There's no problem, really. It's not like, you know, the Great Depression or World War, the end of World War, you know, 1 and 2. We have resources. We have technology. We can build anything we want. We can actually afford to go to Mars and the moon. But the money system tells us we can't. And that is the biggest lie. We're going to have to get over this. We're going to have to get over that hump. And that might be something we're forced to transform in because of the way banking works today and the way the world is working. We can't live on that system anymore. It is a failed system. And those are the kind of transformations I think may happen in this turn of the new sun. We may have to come, you know, literally turn into a whole new money system in the world.
Well, I think you're right there. What's going on with your experiments with zero point energy?
Well, this is where we get right down to, you know, the secret to zero point energy and looking for the magic number. Again, you know, Archimedes, the great Greek mathematician, discovered infinities. And when you see infinities, which are resonances in the decimal series that vibrate forever. And I'll give you a simple example of one. When you see a ratio of 1 to 1 and a quarter, it's a ratio of 1 to 1.25, and it ends on the decimal series. But when you see something, and this is the number that I have found everywhere. I found it in galaxies and flowers, and I found it in electrons and positrons. Real mathematics that I've done on photographs from bubble chambers, very accurate photos of the spinning motions of the subatomic particles. This is the number that appears more than any other number. It's the 1 to 1.111111111. Now, the further Fibonacci's ratio is 1 to 1.618, and I know that one does exist, even though it doesn't resolve. The 1.111 is everywhere, and what's amazing about the ones going further to the right in the decimal series is they will eventually reach the zero-point field, because the zero-point scale, the size of the wave scale on an actual size dimension, is so small and so high in frequency that it is smaller than the smallest unit ever measured, which is the Planck scale, comes from the physicist Max Planck, the Nobel Prize winner and the mentor of Albert Einstein. So when you see a mathematical formula that vibrates down to that scale, I actually know how to build the wave generators that produce that vibration. And I have seen other infinities as well. I've seen the 1 to 1.33333. And so what I was first doing is doing what the Greeks were doing, what the ancient Greeks were doing with the logos. If logos means ratio, the Greeks became, like Pythagoras, obsessed with ratios in sound and producing music. So we have a whole music scale that's based on harmonic ratios. And we have three major phases of our music scale. We have, you know, we have a perfect fifth, you know, a fourth, and a ratio of 1 to 2, which is which is the octave, and then we have a whole note, which is a ratio of, I believe it's 8 to 9. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we have only 5 different ratios that we use in the creation of all of our music. And there's a whole other spectra out there that nobody has looked at. They are basically hidden numbers. And so what I did is I started looking for these numbers. And in one of our last shows, I actually showed the audience how during the time of Archimedes and during the time of his student Eratosthenes was the first time in history that we could measure the circumference of the Earth. We actually knew how far it was around the Earth. And that was Eratosthenes, Archimedes' student, who calculated it, which would be roughly 24,000 miles today. But with the advent of space technology and radio telemetry, we found that the Earth is not a perfect sphere. It's a slight ellipse. And when we take the ratio of the circumference pole to pole versus equator to equator, there is a difference or a differential. And the ratio of the Earth's circumference pole to pole versus equator to equator is 1 to 0.996 approximately. So that's just a number. That doesn't mean anything to anybody. But later in that last show, I'm coming to my big new discovery here. I showed how the Great Pyramid, researchers and historians thought the builders had made a mistake because the 4 sides of the Great Pyramid looking straight down from above as a square were slightly uneven in their numbers measured in royal cubits. And when I did the ratios on the sides, I got the same ratio as the ratio of the Earth itself, which is 1 to 0.999. So the accuracy was better than 99%, that the builders of the pyramid knew how to create a vibrational instrument that matched the vibration of the planet itself. And the only way they could have known that mathematically is that they had access to space technology, because you could never take that measurement from the ground. It's impossible. So that built a mathematical case for the pyramids being built by space or someone who had access to space technology, or like you suggested, we had a much more advanced civilization on this planet, meaning we have previously had space technology. But here's my new big discovery. Our bodies are made of subatomic particles, atoms that have a proton in the center and quarks and all sorts of fancy things, and then they have electrons and anti-electrons, which are positrons vibrating around them. Previously, I was measuring the ratio between the diameter of the electron spin and the positron, and I found the 1.1111 and the 1.333, and I predicted that all of the infinities from 1.111 to 1.999 were all there, even though I'd only found 3 of them. But I decided to look at a different dimension of the orbit of the spin of the electron and the positron. I said, oh, my God, the planet is slightly elliptical. The galaxy is slightly elliptical. The orbit of the electron is slightly elliptical, and that's what our bodies are made of. I said, oh, my God, I think I know what that number is going to be. And I blew up a real photograph from a bubble chamber experiment, very large scale, and I measured the diameter on the ellipse, because it's not a perfect sphere, 90 degrees to each other, and I got the same number.